Well, good morning, real life. How we doing this morning? Good, good. I'm Red Bull, excited to be with you this morning. I believe that God's going to do some great and mighty things in our time together. I do want to haste and share my appreciation to your pastor, Pastor Rich, and his passion and his love for this region. I am excited to lock arms with him to embody the mission of God, not just as an individual church, but as a collective church. I think that it is important that we as a church look beyond just our castles into the kingdom of God. God is at work out in the world, and he is calling his church to come together to make a unique impact. And so as we continue to navigate and continue to form what together for the region is all about and what it looks like, we ask that you would continue to pray with us as we continue to seek the face of God and the will of God. And then we believe that the power of God is going to pour down on this thing and do something far greater than any of us can imagine. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. On that note of amen, let me go ahead and do some housekeeping because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that you're ready for this kind of preaching. And so black preaching is dialogical, which means that it is a conversation that happens between the pulpit and the pew. In other words, if you feel like saying amen, you can actually stand up and say amen. And if that doesn't motivate you, if you say amen, I'll move faster because I'll know that you're with me. But if you're not saying anything, then I'm going to stay on that point until I know that I'm striking a chord with you. Amen. All right. Amen. Well, let's breathe a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, God of all grace and mercy, now speak to our hearts and speak to our souls. Transform us, unite us. As Pastor Rich said, would you now knit our hearts together in this moment? Cause something divine to happen in this hour, something that human strength cannot do, or human power, or human manipulation can never create. God, we want you to be God in this moment as we sit ourselves under your authoritative word. May it be effective and transformational as it always is. And we pray that you will now use this preacher, as frail as he is, for the proclamation of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said,
amen.
I want to preach for 10 and a half hours on this thought. Just a touch will do. Just a touch will do. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and go to Mark, the first chapter. We're going to camp out in verse 29. We're going to end at verse 34. When you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, wait a minute. That doesn't cut into my preaching time. That's on you. If you're there, say amen. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. The word of God, ladies and gentlemen. You know, a touch is powerful. Some of us have experienced touch in a positive and some of us in a negative manner. I believe God created touch to be positive. But unfortunately, this action has been abused. But it was meant to bring wholeness to the human experience. Dr. Dasher Kepner, a professor of psychology and the scientific advisor for Pixar film Inside Out, claims that human touch is the foundation of human relationships. He explains skin to skin, parent to child touch is the social language of our life. The foundation of all human relationship is touch. The foundation of all human relationship is touch. There are 4 years of touch exchange between mother and baby. In the social realm, our social awareness is profoundly tactile. Kettner, one of the co-authors for a study that looked at celebratory touches of pro basketball players, includes fist pumps, high five, chest bumps, leaping, shoulder bumps, chest punches, head slaps, head grabs, low fives, high fives, full hugs, half hugs, and team huddles. Are you feeling touched yet? And speaking of basketball, just to make it clear, I think Rich will appreciate this. Michael Jordan is the GOAT without argument, all right? I got the mic. I say what I say. When you get the mic, you'll say what you say. With LeBron James at a close second. The researchers discovered that teams and players who touch one another a lot did better than those teams who players didn't. Kettner has concluded that touch lowers stress, builds morale, and produces triumph. A chest bump instructs us in cooperation. A half hug in compassion. I want to preach from this thought. If we had a hand like Christ, who would we touch? If we had a hand like Jesus, who would we touch? Real life, our story today catches Jesus after church lets out. Now, I don't know your normal after church rhythm. I know for some of you, it is going to find your favorite restaurant in Portage or in Hobart. I know for some of you, it's Olive Garden or Raising Canaan, or if you're like me, a nice long nap. And for some of you, it'll be Chick-fil-A for you only to discover that they're closed on Sundays. How is it going to be Christian chicken closed on Sundays? Listen, I'm not here to judge you. I don't know how you get down after church, but in Jesus' day, the synagogue usually lets out around noon. And it was customary to have a family meal after service on the Sabbath. When the service was over at the synagogue, Jesus had went home with Peter. When they arrived at Peter's house, they found his mother-in-law sick with a fever. Now, it does not appear that her fever was life-threatening, but it left her incapacitated and unable to prepare the noon meal for the family. Can you imagine now? Can you step into the text at this moment? Instead of coming home to a feast, they come home to a woman with a fever. Now, before we talk about what Jesus does in response to this news, it's important that I first talk about what he did not do. He didn't get mad because dinner wasn't ready. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. Let that minister to who it needs to minister to. He wasn't irritated that she was sick. Jesus doesn't censor his stomach, but this woman. Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Moving on. I told you we need to examine who he cares for, who he touches. I don't think Mark chooses, out of all the miracles he could have recorded, to record this one where Jesus touches this woman and heals her in this house. It's important if we're going to capture, if we're going to grasp the heart of the Father, that we zoom in on the fact that she is a woman. It's not just Jesus touches, but it is who he touches that we need to pay close attention to. I'll play that back again. It's not just that Jesus touches, but it is who he touches that we need to pay attention to if we're going to understand the heart of God. The text says that he takes her by the hand. Mark's gospel is one that is written in a hurry, scholars say. If you slow down long enough and pay attention to Mark's penmanship, what you will notice is that he's always in the hurry. Then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. But it is ironic how in this moment, in this story, Mark slows his writing pen down, if you will. You can feel the text move from fast forward now into slow motion. As if Mark is saying, you're going to want to see this. You're going to want to experience this. You don't want to miss this. Something crazy, something out of your mind, flip you upside down, is about to happen in this house. Or if you're on your phone, put it down. If you're on social media, put it down. If you're reading the news, put it down. And I need you to focus in on what's getting ready to happen in this house. You're going to want to see the care Jesus gives to this woman. Now, that likely didn't hit you the way that it should have, but let's dig here, church. We have to dig to understand the significance of this touch. Francis Maloney says that it is unusual for a teacher to take a hand of a woman, as there is no recorded instance of a rabbi doing so. There is no recorded instance of a rabbi taking the hand of a woman. Y'all, there is no record of a rabbi taking the hand of a woman. Women were not even allowed to even sit at the foot of a rabbi in Jesus' day. And Jesus now takes her by the hand. What I am learning about God is that God is willing to go against cultural grain to reach those whom he intends to reach. And he does not reach out to them because they're good, but he reaches out and touches them because he's good. Now, I learned this at a very young age. Don't judge me. Don't post this on the gram or FB. We're family, so I'm going to let y'all in on my business. There was a show that I used to love to watch. It was a movie, in fact. Maybe you'll remember this. Dennis, the Menace. Don't judge me. Don't talk about me. Yes, Dennis the Menace, Rich. I used to love me some Dennis the Menace. Mr. Wilson! In one scene, one preacher pointed this out to me. I didn't see it until then. He highlights this part in the film. That Dennis has this moment with his cousin, and his cousin is baffled by Mrs. Wilson's responses to Dennis. He's baffled because Mrs. Wilson is so good to Dennis, but his cousin knows that Dennis is no good. Somebody should have said amen right there. Dennis is no good. No, he's no good. Dennis was a terror. He used to mess Mrs. and Mr. Wilson's house up, and all of a sudden, Mrs. Wilson bakes Dennis cookies, and his cousin said, I don't know why she bakes you cookies, and Dennis starts to preach, church, because Dennis says that Mrs. Wilson doesn't bake me cookies because I'm good, but Mrs. Wilson bakes me cookies because she's good, and friends, that's your story, and that's my story. God has been good to us, not because we got it all together, not because we got it all figured out, but because he's good. Oh, he's beyond good. He'll reach into the dumpster of your mess, love you where you are, clean you up. Oh, he's good, church. And Dennis understands that. I believe what Mark wants us to see is Jesus touches all the wrong people. He touches lepers. He touches the sick. And he touches the dead. He touches all the people that church folks feel don't deserve grace. Even in Jesus' day, rules had been established to keep people who needed God away from God. But Jesus touches us. And Jesus teaches us through that touch that God will cross boundaries set by humans to get the people that need him. Some of y'all wouldn't be here today if God wasn't so good to you. Though people said that you were too dirty and too unclean and your past was too messed up, God found you where you were. And what I love about my God is there's no shadow he won't light up, and there's no wall that he will not kick down to get to sinners whom he plans to save. What's the point? Mark wants to impress upon us that Jesus steps across boundaries that have been erected to marginalized people, and in this instance, a woman, that Jesus can bring those on the outside to the inside into fellowship with God. You didn't catch it. Let me run it back. Jesus can bring those on the outside into the inside into fellowship with God. Still didn't catch it. Let me do it one more time. That Jesus can bring those on the outside into the inside into fellowship with God. There you go. All right, I'll keep moving now. If you slow down long enough, what you will discover in Mark's gospel is he goes out of his way to show the attention given by God to those who live outside of the community, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, those outside of the ethnic heritage, those who are not privy to the proximity of Jesus. I wonder what this woman felt in that moment when Jesus touched her. I just wonder. I mean, I begin to ask questions of this text. That's just me. I wonder if she felt seen in that moment. I wonder if she felt loved in that moment. I wonder if she felt like somebody in that moment. I wonder if for the first time in her life, she felt like more than a meal prepper or a woman in the kitchen, but she felt like someone with a soul. Many of you will remember in the King Arthur movies, before you become a knight, you would be touched on the shoulder by a sword by the monarch. And that touch would raise your status from a nobody to a somebody. Y'all, when Jesus touches this woman, she became a somebody. She became more than a woman in the kitchen, but the daughter of a king. And she wasn't just touched by any king. She was touched by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is known for touching people and raising their status. Remember the woman with the issue of blood after she touched just the hem of her of his garment, he called her daughter. Jesus, when he touches you, he raises your status. Often what we are going to see about Jesus is he pays special attention to the outcast. That is why in Psalms 138 verse 6 it says, "For the Lord is exalted, yet he looks after the lowly, but he knows the haughty from afar." Jesus is showing us an aspect of God's grace that we ought to pay attention to as a church if we want God to shine. See, God shines and people flourish when we touch those whom God touched. God touches those whom society says we shouldn't. It is those folks that God uses to show his power in the great length of his grace. And I plan to get back to Jesus' mother-in-law, but this is a pattern of Jesus to touch people outside of the community. Remember the Romans who would come to Jesus outside of the Jewish heritage and say, "We heard that you heal people. We heard that you feed people. Do you mind if we get some of those miracles as well?" You'll recall the one lady that Jesus said, she says, "Even the dogs get the crumbs of the table." And Jesus was moved by her faith, and he actually does what she says, although she is outside of the Jewish community. The beauty and the joy that leaps off of the pages to me from this text is not only who he touches, but the effects of his touch. Now, as soon as church was out, Jesus' disciples tell him Peter's mother-in-law is sick. It says it here, and immediately after they left the synagogue, they entered the house, and Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and they immediately spoke to Jesus about her. Okay, Pastor, we got that part. What happens next? Glad that you asked. It says this, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she served them. They tell Jesus about the sickness. Jesus says, "No problem, don't need Tylenol, don't need anything, I got this." And he walks over and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. She gets up, she goes to work getting the meal ready. Amen, somebody. She immediately gets the baked macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, ribs, fried chicken, string beans, pork chops. This is an amazing thing. You read the Bible how you read, I'll read it how I read it. They have just left the synagogue, Rich, where Jesus claims the victory over the devil. Now they enter a home where he is faced with a simple fever, and neither situation proves to be a problem for the Lord Jesus. And this passage teaches us anything. It teaches us that nothing is beyond the scope of his ability. that nothing is beyond the scope of his ability. Nothing. There is no disruption too great. There is no problem too mundane for our Lord. He is able to create a universe from nothing. Theologian says he has ex nihilo power, that is out of nothing power, that God causes things to come into existence out of nothing. When he speaks, things come straining into existence. He is able to speak to the winds and the waves and calm the most violent of storms. He is able to take a lunchable and to feed 5,000 people. He is able to speak the word and deliver people from the grip of demons. He is able to do great things and more. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine or ever think. And yet, he is able to do the most mundane of needs as well. He can create a universe from nothing, and he can put tax money in the mouths of fish. I've been fishing ever since. I haven't found it yet. He is a, amen, somebody felt that one. He is able to calm the stormy seas. He is able to speak peace to the heart of his people. He is able to multiply the lunchable and feed the multitude. But he is also able to take care and feed the smallest of sparrows. He is able to break the grip of Satan and deliver a demon-possessed man. And he is able to reach into the heart of any lost sinner and save them by his grace. And what Mark is trying to show us is Jesus' touch make things whole again. What Mark is trying to show us, what he is straining to put before us, what he is trying to get you to comprehend, is that the touch of Jesus makes things whole again. That his touch has resurrection power, not just any power. I'm talking about resurrection power. Get up out of the grave kind of power. Lazarus kind of power. That Jesus' touch has resurrection power. Y'all ought to be glad. This preacher did his homework. I discovered in my studies this week, when Mark says he raised her up, he uses a Greek word that means to raise up. Mark subtly connects this healing with Jesus' resurrection. Same language is used when Jesus speaks of his coming resurrection in Mark 14, 28, when the young man reports Jesus has risen. And then in Mark 16, 6, Mark also uses this verb to refer to healing in two places in his gospel. Mark wants us to see when Jesus touches someone and heals them, the resurrection power is breaking out. That Jesus is pushing back on the kingdom of darkness. Every touch is Jesus pushing back on the kingdom of darkness. As if Mark is saying, Jesus is reversing the curse in Genesis. Mark is saying, Jesus is bringing light where there is darkness. Oh, I wish I had a church right now. My church is here with an amen that right now. That Jesus is pushing back darkness. And friend, what our community needs, family needs, school needs, government needs, region needs, is a touch from Jesus. Real life, your blocks, they need a touch from Jesus. Real life, our businesses, they need a touch from Jesus. They need resurrection life. The only issue, though, there is an issue. Oh, yes, there is an issue. Rich, there's an issue that they need a touch from Jesus, but Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But isn't that what the church is for? To be the hand of Jesus? Our community, therefore, needs a touch from the church. Our schools, therefore, needs a touch from the church. Our marriages, therefore, need a touch from the church. How do we touch them? I think we do it by serving them. Here's the final analysis of the text. What happens after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she served them. As a sign of restoration, as a sign of wholeness, Simon's mother-in-law served them. Jesus is not reinforcing a subservient role for women here. service, diakonos, in ministry in Mark is something the angels do for Jesus in Mark 1:13. And Jesus teaches that service is the indicator of true greatness. In fact, this is what Jesus came to do, to serve rather than to... Y'all got to do some more Bible reading around here. Jesus came not to be served, but to... There we go. If anything, this woman is an example of true discipleship. She touches all of them in the room now with her service. And I wonder what would happen if we touch the world with our service. No. Like for real, serve the world. What would happen if we use our homes to serve our communities? I wonder if they would feel touched by Jesus. What if we served our schools? What would happen? Would they feel touched by Jesus? What would happen if we randomly found businesses and blessed their employees with gift cards? This is what we did not too long ago, and they were blown away by the love of God. What if we threw block parties for our blocks? Would they feel touched by the love of Jesus? We just did this not too long ago, and my next-door neighbor was telling me about her cousin who wanted nothing to do with church, but after he seen the consistent love of the church, all of a sudden he wants to have conversations about God. All of a sudden, what would happen if the church can imagine beyond Sunday mornings what God will do if we allow resurrection power to get out? And what if we went to our neighbors and said, we got dinner for you this week? What if, as a church, we challenge systemic injustice? What if, as a church, we collectively came together to love this region? My guess is resurrection power would start breaking out everywhere. And the kingdom of darkness will be pushed back, and Satan will be running away with his tail between his legs if you take the Hollywood picture. And you'll be surprised, friends, what one small touch would do. The multiplication of his touch. Look how one touch multiplied in many touches. Because look at what happened at the end of the story. Now, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door. In Jewish society, the Sabbath was not over at midnight, but rather sunset. As soon as the Sabbath had ended, there was no need to stay indoors. In the floodgates, and the people crowded Peter's doorway to be touched by Jesus. Could it be people are not crowding the churches of the door because we have stopped crossing boundaries like Jesus to get to the lost? Could it be we have asked people to get in touch with us instead of us getting in touch with them? When are we going to learn that we have to get out of come to us and go to them? When will we get out of we need cool programs and cool buildings, and y'all do got a cool building, by the way, and then realize that God is calling us to go out there and to touch them? Israel was ill and oppressed by demons for a long time. People were oppressed and abandoned, and now Jesus comes and he touches them. So why then, church, do we only gather with those who are like us? Or why do we create cliques and hang around those whom our established group has approved? We have a way of signaling who is clean and who is unclean in our American way. Our social values assign greater and lesser values to people. Social worth is assigned by gender, wealth, ethnicity, zip code, and there are a thousand of corrupt cultural lenses we tend to view people through. We ascribe who we will touch and not touch by how they parent, mental illness, hard times in marriage, singleness, zip code. But this passage is to reshape our imagination of who is welcome in the house with Jesus and welcome in our lives. The church is to be an outpost for God. So why together for the region? Well, if the church is unwilling to touch each other across cultural, economic, gender, denominational lines, how will they know we are his disciples? I'm not saying go around just randomly touching people. I want to be clear. I'm going to plan the message. Don't do that. I'm talking about locking arms, like Rich and I have been talking about. locking arms so that we can reach the world for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we do this, good God Almighty, get ready for what God is getting ready to do in this region. When churches look beyond their castles and onto his kingdom to touch a dying world. Would you pray with me, church? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We realize that in our own hearts, Lord, it is hard for us to cross boundaries that we have known for so long. Things that have been erected by society that dictate who we can touch, who we can love, who we can be around, and who we desire to be our neighbors. But Lord, we're praying that you would do such a work in us, that you would give us the love of Jesus, that reaches out and touches the unclean, the uncertain, those who have been marginalized and forgotten. And he brought resurrection power to their lives, healed them of all their infirmities, and he raised them to sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, I believe that you're raising up an army in this day that is willing to go beyond the church walls and beyond their cultural boundaries and do what's antithetical to the culture in order to reach those whom you want to be reached. And so, Lord, would you help us together, collectively, embody your mission for the good of your people and for the glory of your name. It is in Jesus' name I pray, and everybody at Real Life said, amen. I hand you all. Thank you all for having me. I hand you back over to you.